Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The surprise pick by President-elect Donald Trump, tapping Matt Gaetz to serve as Attorney General. The Florida congressman and Trump loyalist selected to become the nation's top law enforcement officer while under a House ethics probe. Gaetz also once the subject of a federal investigation into the alleged sex trafficking of a 17-year-old girl, but was never charged. His bid coming after Mr. Trump vowed retribution against political enemies.
Also late today, the president-elect revealing Trump loyalist Congressman Matt Gaetz is his pick for Attorney General. Reaction from Republicans on the Hill coming in right now.
We start with some breaking news. President-elect Donald Trump stunned both his supporters and critics today, choosing Matt Gaetz to serve as U.S. Attorney General. That's America's top cop. Tonight, Senate Republicans said they were shocked about the choice of the Florida congressman, one saying Gaetz is, quote, not a serious candidate, another that he faces a tough confirmation battle.
Yeah, lots of very interesting things happened yesterday. Let's just say there's a lot of politicians with dead phones yesterday. A lot of people whose phones had to be plugged in for repeated contact. So including Mayor Reeves actually was the funniest one I saw online. He actually posted a screenshot of his phone's battery status history and said, compared with the announcement of Matt Gaetz' resignation, my phone battery. Pretty funny. All right, so let's unpack a little. By the way, later on today, we're actually going to have a good conversation with Alex Andrade, who has said he will not be running. That's why this is important. He said he will not be running. He's very close to Matt Gaetz, and, you know, we'll find out from him kind of all the stuff that's going to go on surrounding this shift. Attorney General, top cop in the United States, a position that Donald Trump has had problems with, right? And there's a lot you can say about the nomination itself. I don't know where to start exactly. But one thing is that Matt Gaetz is an extraordinarily smart guy. I don't say this often. Maybe I should. I don't know. Matt's smarter than I am. And there's not a lot of people. This is going to sound super arrogant. But there's not a lot of people I meet and I'm like, yep, that guy's smarter than I am. Ken Ford at IHMC. You know, I'm not saying there's not people, but when, you know, you want to think about like who thinks things through, who understands things, who's able to give an answer, think on his feet, come up with solutions. I mean, Matt Gaetz, extraordinarily smart guy and a lawyer. A lot of people don't realize that he was a lawyer in the past because he hasn't been a lawyer for a long time, right? He's been a legislator. He was in the House and then in the Florida House. Of course, he interned for Marco Rubio, if I remember correctly, back in the day. And by the way, being smart doesn't mean I agree with him. Just, you know, some people have really high IQ. He has really, really high IQ. Just as an example, some of the people that I interview are more comfortable knowing the topics in advance. And I don't mind telling people, at least when they're on the phone before we do the interview, you know, hey, this is what we're going to talk about. This is what we're going to talk about. I'm just not a surprise journalist guy. I think that's a silly way to approach things. You know, when I do campaign interviews, I do it a little bit differently. But generally speaking, I figure the idea is to bring out people's best information, not make them look stupid. It's my own view about journalism. It's funny because I've had a couple of politicians who are like, I got to know all the topics in advance or I don't know what I'm doing. And I always think that's a little bit weird. But I usually, as a courtesy, like most people, kind of know vaguely what at least the general topics we're going to talk about. Matt Gaetz, I've a couple of times I said to him, hey, do you want to know what we're going to talk about? Nah, surprise me. Like consistently. Like he does not care. It's just, you know, that's what I'm talking about in terms of ability to handle himself. And of course, going on national TV and, you know, banging it out against liberals on MSNBC and CNN when they would have him on as a guest and then they stopped because he would embarrass them too much. Anyway, very sharp guy, very smart, and very strong Trump loyalist. It's been a little bit hidden from view over the last couple of years since the allegations and the investigations and all of the drama, semi-drama surrounding that, none of which has been established or proved, and he has always denied since they came out, since the day they came out. And the question about his relationship with Trump, even I had. I think I actually texted somebody yesterday. I'm like, is Matt Gaetz still close to Trump? Is he not close? Is he on the ins or on the outs with him? Because I didn't really know where they stood anymore. Well, on the in, apparently, is what we learned pretty convincingly yesterday. So has he ever run an organization? No, not really. I mean, maybe he had a couple employees in his law firm. Being a member of the House means you have staff, okay? That you run an organization of sorts. It's not quite the same scale as running the DOJ. Is he sharp? Sure. Does he understand politics? Sure. Will he protect Trump? Yeah. Will he use the law appropriately and fairly? I will tell you, I believe yes. I think yes. And, I know a lot of people are terrified right now because they think he's in there to be like the retribution guy. He has definitely been leading the charge of criticizing the Department of Justice on the House, criminal or the Justice Committee, right? So he has been, or the Criminal Justice, no, I forget. Anyway, he has been on that committee a lot, and he has been an obnoxious loud voice raising questions. So experience-wise, in terms of running an organization, seems to me to be a shortcoming. Capability of understanding the law and the issues and thinking through the problems and supporting the president? Yeah, absolutely. But the attorney general is not the support the president position. The attorney general is a position that's independent from the presidency once it's established. And so you want somebody who's going to be willing to ask hard questions even about the White House. That's an important part of that role. Is he capable of doing it? He's capable. Definitely. Will he? Well, I mean, time will tell. I mean, you'd be naive to say yes, and I think you'd be you wouldn't know Matt very well to just say no. I think he's going to have to prove that that's the case because there's an awful lot of people who believe he's being put in there as a shill. I mean, surely. That said, the question is, can he get confirmed? Nobody knows. And the thinking is maybe no. You have high-profile Democrats, of course, are opposed. But you also have pretty high-profile Republicans who are asking questions and seeming on the fence at best. If I would say this, if it were in the House, I think, to get the House confirmation would be probably hard because he made so many enemies there. But he did get rid of McCarthy, and he did manage to get Mike Johnson installed, who has now survived another vote for being Speaker. So he's gotten some pretty significant things done when he was in the House. Will he get through the Senate? If you ask me my money is no. I don't think Matt Gaetz gets confirmed by the Senate. The question is, does he have to be? There's a very interesting question about whether he can simply be appointed and be the acting or the interim. And then when exactly would he have to be nominated? Would he have to go through that process? And would Senate denial mean anything if Trump says, yeah, but I'm not putting anybody else up and he's still the acting? And I think that's a real possibility. Also, keep in mind that the rumors are heavy that Matt Gaetz runs for governor in 2 years. So this may be a 2-year gig for him. Now, the really interesting question locally is what? Who's going to be the congressman? Who's going to take that seat? We're going to do a special election. If you're in the Senate, you get appointed by the governor. If you're in the House, you have a special election. I'm surprised I've talked to some people who say we're going to have a primary even. There is a list of maybe, 20, 25 people long that I have in my own show prep about who I think is eligible for this and who. It goes from the who is almost definitely going to try to get it. Okay, that list is pretty short. The almost definitelys are Michelle Salzman and then Mayor Ashton Hayward. There's a lot of strong rumor about Destin Mayor Bobby Wagner. Marcus Chambers in Okaloosa County, who's a superintendent, is a black conservative. Okay, this goes all the way to Walton County, remember? This is Walton, Okaloosa. So just because you never heard of somebody doesn't mean they're not going to be part of this conversation. I think Joel Rubman is an unlikely candidate, but maybe. Did I say D.C. Reeves? D.C. Reeves is certainly in this conversation. I don't think he wants it. I think he's happy doing what he's doing, but I think he's certainly in this conversation. That's why his phone died yesterday. Could a Burgosh run for the seat? Gary or Jeff? Certainly. I would put them in the lower level of probabilities, but it's certainly a possibility. Dad, Don Gaetz. Strong possibility. James Utmeyer, the chief of staff for Governor DeSantis. Strong possibility. And obviously would carry the support of the governor's office, which would be more, you know, we'll see what Trump does, okay? And then there's all kinds of other names like, you know, people that might not be in the high profile now, but I think if you ask them, do you want to be in Congress, their answer is 100% yes. Gene Valentino would be an example. I think Nathan Boyles from Okaloosa County, who runs Waste Pro, is a very high likelihood to throw his hat in. So those are some of my tops. Then you have people like Chip Simmons, who I don't think wants the job. Bob Johnson, Sheriff Eric Aiden, Sheriff Mike Adkins. I don't think they're likely, but you never know with sheriffs. You know, they have administrative experience. Many of them care about the law. So, you know, we'll see. But those are some of I have more on my list. I mean, if you can name a local politician who might be there on my list, I think Doug Underhill is I haven't talked to him, but I would give him a coin flip odds of running for this seat. So the Republican primary is going to be 3 pages long. No, it'll probably in the end wind up being about 5 people is my guess. The Democrat doesn't matter. We're a plus 19% district. The Democrat is not going to be elected. All right, so there you go. That's your short wrap. The election is likely to be in January. That's why Matt resigned, is so that the election can get started. Because if you can get the special election in early January when the House starts to be seated, you'll actually have a replacement for him in place before Trump is president. And then you don't have these problems with preserving the majority, right? We've got, with Michael Waltz being appointed to National Security Advisor, that's a loss in the House, even though we're going to have a special election to fill that seat. You have, all of a sudden, what's her name? The woman in Nancy, the woman from New York, Elise Stefanik. I was thinking of Nancy Mace for some reason. Elise Stefanik. So that's 3. And then there was a 4th one. Tulsi Gabbard's an X. So those need to get filled pretty quickly to preserve the slim majority that the Republicans have. So that's what you're going to see. Totally different question. Which railroad crossings are open? I drove them this morning. I went and looked because I thought, you know, people are going to want to know this, and this is important. I have really, really, really good news for you. 9 Mile is open. Bad news, Olive is still closed. Ensley is open. I was surprised Olive was open. I thought Olive would be open, or Olive was closed, but Olive is definitely closed. The question is, going north from there, well, you've got, you know, East Roberts is still closed. I haven't put my eyes on these ones this morning, okay, but they have to be, because the whole thing was to put heavy pressure, CSX was putting heavy pressure on getting 9 Mile fixed, and 9 Mile is open and flat and good and no problems. I drove it. But in terms of the other crossings this morning, 10 Mile closed, Roberts closed, at least as far as I know, closed, okay? Kingsfield, supposed to be closing this morning. I expect it's closed. If you see something, tell me. Text me 437-1620. Old Chemstrand, scheduled to be closed this morning. Archer, supposed to be closed this morning. El Camino, had no official word, but I would guess today. And then, so all of your like cantonment crossings, yeah, good luck. And Gonzales. The two that a lot of people are very worried about, rightly so, Woodbury Circle, which is a one way. You have to get into that subdivision back there only through that one. I was told by county staff that they're supposed to build a temporary crossing so people can get in and out, which makes sense because you can't just shut people into their neighborhood for a day. You just can't do it. And then Beck's Lake Road, same thing. It's a one way in and out on the east side of 29. So that is also, somebody told me they saw the alternate crossing being constructed. So that's good news. Quintet is not going to get closed, I've been told. I'm trusting in that answer. So there you go. That's your update on the railroads this morning. If you live anywhere north of 9 Mile, expect life to be really awful this morning. Give it an extra hour or two. I mean, John Fair, would you say? Give it and that's to get to kids to school. That's to get you to work. That's to, unless you take a bike. I mean, if you can take a bike, take a bike. Because what we saw yesterday and what we saw the day before that. Also, Burgess is still not closed. And I don't know. They still got the signs up to do it. But I don't know what's happening with Burgess. I don't know if they're going to come back and do Burgess or not. Anyway, so there you go. That's your roads update and your congressional update. And that's all the news there is. That's enough. Don't you think that's enough? Tulsi Gabbard for DNI? Wow. It's, no, not DNI. That's not the right office. What has Tulsi Gabbard been nominated for? John, you remember what she is all of a sudden? I feel like that's not right.
Director of National
Intelligence. No, DNI, I had it right. Yeah. Okay, go on your memory. Trust your memory, Andrew. You get to a certain point in life where you do start to doubt your memory a little bit, right? You do start to wonder. 525 on News Radio 92.3 Informative. Or, you know, you're in the news enough that you like, I should check everything I say to make sure that it's right. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Kick off the holidays with WSRE's Festival of Trees and take home the tree of your dreams. Trees and wreaths, decorated by local designers, will be on display November 15th through the 17th in the WSRE Amos Studio at Pensacola State College. Each will be up for auction and for sale in support of WSRE PBS and the programs you love. Catch the spirit of the season at WSRE's Festival of Trees. There'll be free photos with Santa and holiday music, too. Admission is free.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Winterfest in downtown Pensacola begins Friday and goes through the holidays with a 500,000 lights, performances, tours, and of course, Santa. See PensacolaWinterfest.org. Friday night, enjoy another gallery night in downtown Pensacola. This month's theme is Festival of Living Art. Meet your friends and neighbors for another fun evening. See GalleryNightPensacola.org for more. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Smite me, oh mighty smiter!
As my good friend Brent Lane would say, am I right, John?
We're very right.
528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Wednesday morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, no, it's been a slow news day. Absolutely nothing has happened.
Nothing to see here.
Donald Trump nominated Matt Gaetz to be the attorney general. He also had a little meeting with President Joe Biden yesterday. And the two met, they shook hands. They talked for about 2 hours, both talked of a peaceful transition. So a nice little moment there. It was very hectic if you were listening to the live microphones when they were yelling questions at both of them. It was insane.
And they were just sitting there doing nothing. And yeah. all I could think the whole time as I'm watching them is, smiles, everyone, smiles. That's all they were doing, just grin and smile.
Pretty much, yeah. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is expected to reintroduce congestion pricing today with some revised pricing. She's expected to set the base fare to enter below Manhattan's 60th street. I don't know why that's in the national headlines here. That's crazy.
Because people in New York think New York is the only thing that exists.
See, I just looked down the list. I'm like, okay, this looks like, no, that's nothing. Okay.
Yeah, from the AP, yeah. Below 60th street, you know, next to the bodega. You know the one that Larry runs?
Yeah, it's right by that subway. Trust me,
exactly,
folks, don't go there. You don't want to go. Full House star Dave Coulier. This looks like a real national headline. he says he's battling cancer.
Sorry,
this is a sad one.
Yeah, it is.
He revealed that diagnosis on the Today Show yesterday. He says it's stage 3 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but doctors tell him that he has a a likely recovery rate or curability rate of about 90%. So I guess that's good news in the end. He has a pretty good chance.
Good news. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Man, where does the time go so fast? It's all right. What was the... this is just a small note, but it made me laugh. Joe Rogan is now saying that Kamala Harris's team couldn't get their act together. Couldn't, like, the back and forth on the demands and the timing and the where people are supposed to go. And he's like, I don't know, man. Basically, I saw her work when she had a teleprompter and no other time. But the thing she didn't want to talk about, marijuana legalization. And he laughed at that. Theoretically, because she prosecuted so many people for marijuana possession when she was in California and didn't want the awkwardness of it. That's not how the Rogan podcast works.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President-elect Trump will begin his second term January 20th with Republicans in control of the Senate and now the House.
The American people have clearly spoken, given Republicans the trifecta of power in Washington. It was clinched after the House race in Arizona was called for GOP candidate Juan Ciscomani, and it does bring that House balance of power to 218 to 208.
Fox's Griff Jenkins, a few races still need to be decided. Surprising move by the president-elect, tapping now former Congressman Matt Gaetz of the U.S. Attorney General.
His resignation comes days before the House Ethics Committee was set to vote on releasing a potentially damaging report about him. The committee has been investigating the now former congressman for years for allegations including sex trafficking, drug use, and accepting bribes, all of which he denies.
And that's Fox's Brooke Singman reporting. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531, 72 right now, cloudy skies in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Again, right now we have 72 and cloudy here in Pensacola. President-elect Donald Trump nominating Florida Republican Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. That news yesterday followed closely by word that Gaetz was resigning from Congress. The resignation means the House Ethics Committee investigating Gaetz over allegations of sexual misconduct and illicit drug use will no longer have the ability to continue that probe, which was reportedly in its final stages. In a post on Truth Social, Trump praised his pick, calling Gaetz a, quote, deeply gifted and tenacious attorney. Gaetz posted on X, he said it would be an honor to serve as the attorney general. Commanding Officer Captain Terry Village Shishati is set to retire this week, as NAS Pensacola will be hosting a change of command and retirement ceremony on Friday. That'll happen at the National Naval Aviation Museum on board NAS Pensacola. Shishati will be relieved as the NAS Pensacola commanding officer during that ceremony and will be succeeded by Captain Chandra Newman. Shishati will retire after the ceremony, completing a 26-year Navy career. City officials in Destin say they're hopeful FDOT's vision for bloody Highway 98 will come to pass. A recent FDOT study included a new proposal to expand 98 to six lanes from Okaloosa Island Pier to the East Bay Bridge.
If you're going to widen the roadway to six lanes, you would also have to widen the bridge structure for East Pass Bridge in that area. So you would have three lanes of traffic on each side, but the enhancement there obviously would be the pedestrian and bicycle facilities.
That is FDOT's Ian Satter. He says the goal is to ease congestion on the road. He says the highway's seen a big increase in traffic here in recent years, and Destin city officials say they're supportive of that plan, but they are hoping for public input at a meeting in December, and not just from their city residents, but anybody here in the surrounding communities that could be affected by the project. Well, bad news for our friends across the state line. Alabama, considered to be one of the worst states to find a job. Now, that's based on a study from financial website WalletHub, who looked at all 50 states across more than 30 key indicators of job market strength and economic health. In that list of 50 states, Alabama ranked 38th. The state was given low marks for its economic environment, according to the list. New Hampshire was considered to be the best state to try to find a job. State Representative Michelle Salzman, teaming up with Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons and several area nonprofits to sponsor a food distribution and Thanksgiving meal giveaway event. That's happening March 23rd at Marcus Point Baptist Church. Salzman tells Channel 3 at least 300 families will be served, but the supplies will be limited at that event. It's being planned to help those who are struggling and supplement the holidays for their families. Florida Senator Marco Rubio has reportedly been tapped to be President-elect Donald Trump's Secretary of State. Governor DeSantis will have the power to pick his successor. That happened back in 2009 when Charlie Crist sent George Lemieux to Washington.
When they get there, they're going to be a senator just like anybody else, and they're going to have the power to impact the policy of this country.
And Lemieux said the incoming senator will have to be able to build relationships and coalitions in order to earn a majority of the support in the Senate, House, and then earn the president's approval. So his advice to the governor is to think about picking somebody with the skill set to be successful in Washington. 5:35 at News Radio. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We will have showers and thunderstorms ending as you go through your morning. High today near 77 degrees with some sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping with some dry air near 55 degrees. As you go into Friday, sunny skies, high near 72. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 53. Keeping sunshine around through Saturday with a high near 72 and a low near 56. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 72 degrees right now. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The October producer price index is set to show an uptick in inflation. PPI, a measure of what producers get for goods and services, is expected to show a 0.2% increase last month, according to a Dow Jones estimate. This would equate to a 2.3% annual increase. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. AMD said it will lay off 4% of its global staff. The company had 26,000 employees at the end of last year, according to a Securities and Exchange Commission filing. AMD is the second biggest producer of graphics processing units behind NVIDIA. Blue Sky has gained over 1.25 million new users in the past week, indicating some social media users are changing their habits following the presidential election. The social media rival claims 15.2 million total users. This is a fraction of the number of accounts on X and Threads. Futures are slightly higher ahead of more inflation data later this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Searching for the perfect Christmas gift? Stop by Pensacola Hardware for thoughtful, practical gifts that they'll love and use all year long. Shop local at our store in downtown Pensacola for hand-picked selections. From gourmet cookware like Lakersay, Heston, Wusthof knives, to custom gift baskets, Yeti gear, and more. Whether it's an exclusive Pensacola ornament or the latest power tools, there's something for everyone on your list. Visit Pensacola Hardware at 20 East Gregory Street and make this holiday season one to remember.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be here.
Andrew McKay, mornings at 5.
It's time to talk with our good friend Mike Woodley, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 before Pep Talk.
Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good opportunity to talk with Mayor D.C. Reeves, as we do every Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We have good news about parking. Lots of good news about parking, right?
Yeah. I think... when you try to unbreak a broken system, it sometimes feels like you're breaking it.
Yeah.
Because change is required. But that's not always just as people may want to charge me or the city in wanting to charge more money or turning free into paid. what we're all trying to do is create a better experience and a more seamless experience for downtown. And remember, we started from a place where we weren't creating enough revenue to do anything. And in addition to that, we didn't have availability of spaces. That was the number one complaint. So we're trying to unbreak those things. And so we've obviously taken some notable steps, like them or not like them so far. But, you know, that also we've got to take steps to help the experience. And so we announced yesterday, first and foremost, parkpensacola.com. If you go there, we now have an interactive map which shows you where all the paid, all the free spaces are. It also shows you what I think is vital is us showing you what we're doing with the money. And that's really got to, you know, that's a requirement, an expectation that should be of the city is if you're charging money for parking, what are you doing with it? And so we have a live tracker in real time of where we're spending that money, so you can track that. And then but the big changes, we've added 12-30-minute free spaces, no app, no texting, no nothing. Right there at the corner of Garden and Jefferson, the surface lot of the Jefferson garage, not the garage itself. That is free on the roof 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, as it always has been. But we have 30-minute spaces all the time, other than special events, right there, kind of next to Vinyl, those 12 spaces on the surface. The Commandencia lot, which you would say kind of behind the Holiday Inn and north of the ferry landing, 230 spaces are all now completely free. When I got here, they were charged on the weekends or at nights. And it was really for kind of an archaic reason. There was driving issues down there or people, you know, drag racing or, you know, something like that years ago. And it was just kind of it didn't make much sense for us to be charging down there because we should be charging where there's demand. And when there's less demand, it should be free.
That was the one, by the way. There, you know me. I get frustrated every time parking spaces go away or stop being free. That was the one that most irritated me because that was always my super safety net. Like you could always park there for free, and then all of a sudden one day I'm like, "What the? Because come on!" And so I'm glad to see those returned to free.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was a Band-Aid. It was in previous years, it was used as kind of a Band-Aid to solve a different issue, you know, and then what happened? Well, demand of usage of downtown went up 40%. So, you know, that Band-Aid doesn't make sense compared to what it costs us. So now if you want free parking downtown, there's 230 spaces, almost guaranteed there'd always be one available for you right there, just south of Main Street, just east of Palafox. And, you know, most importantly, to tie it all together, whether you have ADA accessibility, limited mobility issues, or you just want to park in a free space, we will now, with city parking funds, we're running a trolley from Wright Street, right there by Palanza and Christchurch, where there's a big cluster of free parking.
Lots.
And then we're running it down Palafox to Commandencia. So you can park in either of those large sections of free parking, and you can get anywhere you want to go up and down Palafox, including if you were in a paid space on Palafox. You can wave the trolley down, of course, as well if you've got mobility issues and things like that. So so anyway, those are all kind of things that all of that will go into effect Black Friday on November 29th.
No, and I love the fact that, as you said yesterday in the press conference, you're creating free parking or maintaining free parking at the outer perimeter of the zone, and then you're creating transportation between those free parking and the interior of the zone for people who do not want to walk that far. You know, it's only five or six blocks, but for some people that's a lot, or, you know, more than they want to walk. And
right.
So that's a really good, and that you're paying for the trolley with the funds generated by having parking fees. So that's all good stuff. Yeah, no, I love the little corner lot, the Jefferson and Garden corner lot. That's wonderful. I actually didn't know the status of that lot. I'd never tried to park there. The fact that that's free for 30 minutes now is or starting November 29th. That's fantastic. Wonderful little addition. Mr. Mayor, you know, you and I, probably the only issue we have had the most disagreement about has been parking. So the fact that you're doing what you're doing and also making people more aware of like Spring Street, because people just sometimes have this mindset of staying on the east side of Palafox and don't realize there's all this free parking on the other side. Kudos. Those are all very, very good things. Let's switch gears for just a second and allow me to say something incredibly stupid that you can chastise me for, but here I'm going to say it anyway. You guys released the strategic plan yesterday, the 8 big bullet points to figure out what we're going to do in the future and judge us by our success or failure. CivicCon presentation last night. We kind of had an early preview of this last week. I'm not a fan of strategic plans. I feel like everybody tries to do them. They spend this money creating them. Nothing happens with them. In the end, it's more of a, it's like when companies create a mission statement. Oh, look, there's a mission statement. And 5 years from now, nobody has any idea what it was. It doesn't change any policy whatsoever. I want to be wrong about this because everybody seems to think I'm wrong. Convince me I'm wrong.
Yeah, listen, I don't disagree with the notion that you described. As a matter of fact, I joked when I introduced Scale, the firm that put our strategic plan together, I said, I think one of their practices of indoctrination for their young employees at this firm was, and this is true, before our first meeting, they were required to read every plan that the city of Pensacola has ever done. So,
six months later,
that's a lot of work and a lot of plans. So I don't think the assumption that you make is an unfair one because of really two important things. Number one, what you're talking about is sometimes strategic plans get too visionary. So it's kind of like these big pie in the sky type things, 30-year plans, and then it just feels too unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a balance, and that's what I asked for, and that's what you'll see if you look at the strategic plan, Pensacola2035.com. You can read the whole thing. But I didn't want it too visionary, but I also didn't want it too tactical. If it says year one this, year two that, year three that, that doesn't make any sense either because what if COVID happens? What if a hurricane comes? So that was the most important thing to me is that we balance vision of the direction of the city with some tactical element to it. And so what I think you're describing is fair, but I think it's sometimes the fault of the construction of the plan itself. And listen, I said this twice yesterday during those meetings. When you have no plan, everything fits in.
Mm.
So if you don't believe in a strategic plan, then the argument is, all right, well, then when a county commissioner or a city council or a whatever makes a certain decision, and that just seems to be off base of what you think is good for the city, then you ask yourself, well, where is that idea derived from? What was the goal here? So I'm a big believer in having alignment with our council, our mayor's office, and our community. 1,700 people at 20 different locations across the city gave feedback to say, this is what we want to see out of our city. So, and lastly, why I agree with what you're saying is because the mayor is responsible with it for implementation. That's what the bottom line is. So we have a plan now. And so what happens is we pass the buck on implementation. And so then nothing happens. And we say, well, man, because we had that hurricane. And so that's what I should be accountable for implementation. So we'll continue to track this at least annually on how we're doing. Hey, we're doing great in this category. We haven't done anything in this category. That should be the expectation of my job.
So I'm going to give you a suggestion, which, by the way, I appreciate your comment about it. When you don't have a plan, anything fits it. Witness Escambia County as a whole, planning and not having a plan or having a sector plan and then letting everybody opt out of it. So it winds up not being a plan in the end. Here, I have a suggestion, okay, because you have eight key things on here: attainable housing for all income levels, safe streets for all mobilities, support your youth experiences, resilient waterfronts and neighborhoods, more walkable mixed-use districts, public spaces that connect communities, thriving innovation and business, neighborhoods that celebrate culture and honor legacy, and then there's kind of a summary thing. Here's just crazy idea. Every item that's on the city council agenda could come with a matrix score. That, okay, item number three in front of us is no advancement on seven items, but it advances this item, at a level four. Like, almost everything can be graded based on whether it fits and advances this agenda or not.
Yeah, we had the same thought last night. What we were talking about was a little deviation of that, of just saying, ultimately having a community scorecard,
Yeah.
All right, so where does Baptist Hospital fit in the strategic plan? Well, lots of places, housing,
right,
neighborhoods,
right.
Things like that. And then we score it accordingly. Like you said, it's like, hey, the reason we're doing this community, the reason we're doing this city council, the reason this is coming to you is because it fits within this plan. And so I think the failures that of plans previous, Andrew, that you speak of are fair because the key is implementation. You have to have someone who's accountable for implementation, or it just goes into the ether. And then we say, well, man, we had that tough year. We had a recession, whatever the case may be. And then it just gets derailed. And so I think the missing piece is for me to be accountable to it and for the council to be accountable to it. And so we'll see how that goes moving forward. And certainly that's the expectation for myself.
And just one last note on this crazy idea I have is if you do it on every agenda item, then it gets embedded in people's brains that that's the analytical matrix through
Correct.
Which they have to look at everything. And just through trite, ridiculous repetition, people will internalize the goals.
Exactly.
Baptist Hospital, the report comes back, can't be saved, can't be solved, too expensive, tear it all down, right?
Yep, that's right. So environmental study, Geosyntec, we had brought them on even before we had received any state funding, just because for our urgency and wanting to get this done. So it took a little bit of a financial risk there to bring them on, hoping we would get the funding. Of course, we did. And so, yeah, the report comes back ultimately saying, you know, when there's black mold growing on top of asbestos, you know, that's not a good thing. There is no, you know, we get those theories. I probably get a couple emails a week. Why don't you turn it into this? Why don't you turn it into housing and all that? The cost of of repurposing, skinning to the bones and going back ADA compliant, wind rated windows, you know, all those things that you'd have to do, told us, not a surprise really. But the next big piece of the timeline is going to be, what's the cost of demo? You know, you got to abate all this. You know, there's different, you can't just tear this all down with a wrecking ball and put it at the dump.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of remediation you have to do, which makes it very expensive.
Including the fuel tanks, right? The fuel tanks issue is a big deal, right?
That's right. That's right. And so where the rubber meets the road is going to be, you know, what's that number in January? You know, we've got about $16 million put together. Is it 10? Is it 14? Is it 35? You know, that's what we've got to know. And so that will give us a lot of guidance moving forward. We continue to work on our donation agreement with Baptist, and you know, everything's progressing nicely.
Yeah, and just for people who maybe didn't, I just read a little bit about this, that, you know, like airplane fuel for the helicopter, firefighting foam with the PFAS concerns, and then diesel for the generators. Like, you know, things you don't normally think about with a hospital, but they make sense once you go, oh, yeah, those are remediation issues.
Yep.
As well. I love the road diet coming on North Palafox. We still have not yet. God, I want to talk with you about the two-weighing of MLK and Davis Highway, but we'll get to that some other time. And Bruce Beach opening, which was a big win for several administrations now to get this finally across the finish line. That's great. We always like to end with a lightning round, you know, kind of a little bit of a fun thing. Last week was National Men Make Dinner Day. In your house, who cooks? You, your lady, both, neither?
Both, but honestly, I think I do most of it. You know, when we actually have time to sit down, you know, when we're not eating out somewhere.
Gotcha.
You know, that's my response. I do most of the case. She's looking at me right now.
Oh, yeah. Good. I've started a healthy conversation in the home.
You're
welcome.
Let me work on
that. On your laptop, stickers or no stickers?
No stickers. I've given all of my sticker distribution to my 10-year-old who's got 100 Taylor Swift stickers on her computer.
And I assume no stickers on your car or on your Stanley Cup or any of these, your Tumblr, whatever, nothing, no stickers for you?
I have a nostalgic DC Reeves for Mayor sticker on my Jeep.
Oh, all right. That's all right. All right. And then the last one is, this is a little bit news oriented, of course, based on what happened at the Bay Center last week. But when you go to an event, whether it's a sports event or a theater or anything, concert, and somebody is sitting in your seat, what do you do?
Ooh, usually I do the, I mean, if it's a sold out thing, are there seats open around it?
No.
That's the most important thing. Usually I'll try that if there's a couple seats open. If not, you know, I just do the polite diplomatic thing and say, hey, I think there might be confusion. I don't, you know, I'm a nice guy about it. I don't know. What do? You put somebody in a headlock? What do you do?
Well, I mean, if necessary, one's got to have all the options available, okay. Right?
Right. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get into.
Exactly. That's right. I mean, you know, even if it's the opera, I mean, people need to learn a lesson. DC Reeves is the I think that's probably not true. He's the mayor of Pensacola. As always, sir, thanks for the time. We'll look forward to the city council meeting on Thursday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you're thinking about that home and whether it's time to sell or to buy or what to do, you want the advice of an outstanding realtor, right? You should get something for the money, right? They not just handle the transaction, get you through to closing, although that's true, okay? But this should be somebody who really can solve problems, anticipate problems and avoid them, and get you the best price, buying or selling. And, you know, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty check all those boxes. 175 homes sold last year, on track to be in that vicinity again this year. And, you know, that's in a market that's not as active. I mean, a couple of years ago, that number was, you know, well over 200 each year. But that's just the way the market has been. It's a little bit slower. So one of the things you might wonder is, okay, it's November. Is it time to sell? She says, you know, it's fine if you want to sell now. I mean, she can help you with that, of course. But better to sell in January or February. people are just distracted now with the holidays. So you get a better price in January or February. You know, that's the idea. And that's the kind of, like, you want that knowledge from somebody who really gets how the markets work all the time. Do you have to replace the roof if you're selling a home and the roof is 9 years old or 12 years old? Well, I don't know. But people will ask that question with the state of insurance in Florida these days. She'll know the answer to that question. And that's the point. All of those kinds of things, the real expertise you get from having done it a lot, they have it. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158. Quick note before we break, if you're just tuning in, I have posted a comprehensive informational piece about the CSX crossings again this morning. Here's the basics of what we know at this moment. And I went and put my eyes on several of these this morning because that's the only thing I really trust. Or your texts. I trust, you guys are so great at informing us. But basically, 9 Mile is open and done, which is great news. Olive is still closed. It's not so great, but I know the priority was 9 Mile. Kingsfield and Old Chemstrand either are closed or are closing today. Text me if you know. I would love to make that update accurate. As far as I know, 10 Mile and East Roberts are still closed. The whole idea was they put all their resources onto 9 Mile yesterday, and then everything else kind of had to wait because everything else is secondary, as we learned. Chemstrand, Old Chemstrand, is also closed or closing today. Archer, same thing. So just, you know, the mess moves north, okay? The mess moves north. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
The holidays are right around the corner. Here's why you should hit up Jim's Firearms in November. 1. Beat the holiday rush. 2. The best selection. Find exactly what you're looking for before it's all gone. 3. Pay with layaway. Lock in your gun purchase now and pay over 60 days. 4. More time for customization. And 5. More time to take it easy and have a stress-free season. Shop smart and local with Jim's Firearms. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
B-E-A Unit.
I can say is old Ted Nugent is amazing. It really is. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. You know, I sometimes think about when I had my very, very first, like, not even a Walkman or, you know, I mean, who could afford an actual Walkman, right? We had some terrible imitation knockoff that was twice as heavy and worked half as well. But one of the earliest cassettes I had that I remember listening to on my way and to and from grade school was Cat Scratch Fever by Ted Nugent. Not the album I would give my 8-year-old today, but still. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, hey, first let me do a quick correction here. Earlier in the 31 newscast, I mentioned a food giveaway, and I mistakenly said March 23rd. That would be ways away. No, November 23rd for that food giveaway. Just wanted to clarify that.
You were typing Marcus Point, and it auto-corrected, and it got you.
Well, it didn't auto-correct. My brain auto-corrected me somehow. I don't know. Subliminal. Anyway, Palm Springs, California is close to approving a $27 million reparations deal with Black and Latino families that were forced from their homes back in the 60s. That deal's going before their city council for a final vote today.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up, did anything happen in the news yesterday?
A little bit.
We'll We'll talk about it. Very interesting stuff.